Ezekiel chapter 43. Verse 18, reading to chapter 44, verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 43, beginning in verse 18, this is the word of the Lord. And he said to me, Son of man, thus says the Lord God, these are the ordinances for the altar. On the day when it is erected for offering burnt offerings upon it and for throwing blood against it, you shall give to the Levitical priests of the family of Zadok, who draw near to me to minister to me, declares the Lord God, a bull from the herd for a sin offering. And you shall take some of its blood and put it on the four horns of the altar, and on the four corners of the ledge, and upon the rim all around. Thus you shall purify the altar and make atonement for it. You shall also take the bull of the sin offering, and it shall be burned in the appointed place belonging to the temple outside the sacred area. And on the second day you shall offer a male goat without blemish for a sin offering. And the altar shall be purified, as it was purified with the bull. When you have finished purifying it, you shall offer a bull from the herd without blemish, and a ram from the flock without blemish. You shall present them before the Lord, and the priests shall sprinkle salt on them, and offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. For 7 days you shall provide daily a male goat for a sin offering. Also a bull from the herd and a ram from the flock without blemish shall be provided. 7 days shall they make atonement for the altar and cleanse it and so consecrate. And when they have completed these days, then from the eighth day onward, the priests shall offer on the altar your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, declares the Lord God. Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces east, and it was shut. And the Lord said to me, this gate shall remain shut. It shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered by it. Therefore it shall remain shut. Only the prince may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the vestibule of the gate, and shall go out by the same way. Then he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and I fell on my face. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes, and hear with your ears all that I shall tell you concerning all the statutes of the temple of the Lord and all its laws. And mark well the entrance to the temple and all the exits from the sanctuary. And say to the rebellious house, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, enough of all your abominations. In admitting foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and flesh, to be in my sanctuary, profaning my temple, when you offer to me my food, the fat and the blood, you have broken my covenant, in addition to all your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep my charge for you in my sanctuary. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we ask your blessing upon your word, that we might receive it with faith and cherish it in our hearts. We ask in the name of your Son. Amen. Ezekiel's vision of a new temple on a high mountain is fulfilled in Christ. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 18. The Lord instructs the Son of Man to provide the sacrifice by which the altar was to be sanctified and to purify the altar with its blood. And this Christ has done. Christ, the Son of Man, he has done it by giving himself as a sacrifice, by making atonement with the shedding of his blood. He is our sacrifice, and he is our priest, offering himself through the eternal Spirit without blemish to God. He ascended the heavenly altar and sanctified it with his own blood. In verse 21, the Lord instructs the Son of Man to take the sin offering outside of the temple. And so it was that Christ, the Son of Man, was taken outside the gate, there to bear the sins of many and to put away once for all sin by the sacrifice of himself. In verse 27, the altar, having been consecrated for 7 days, on the 8th day, the priests were to ascend the altar and there offer the burnt offerings and the peace offerings of the people of God. And so it was that Christ, our great high priest, having given himself for the church on the first day of the week, on the 8th day of the week, rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, that he might sanctify the church, that in him she might be holy and without blemish, that she might offer herself as a living sacrifice to God. As that sacrifice is to be cleansed with the washing of water, so Christ has washed us with baptism. And as that sacrifice is to be seasoned with salt, so Christ has given to us his Spirit. And by his Spirit, he meets us here in this place, and he greets us with his grace and peace. And he leads us up the heavenly mountain and brings us into the holy places of the heavenly temple. And in him, we ascend the altar, and beholding the glory of the Lord, we offer to him a sacrifice of praise. And as we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and as the smoke of our sacrifice rises with the aroma of Christ, we are accepted by the Lord. And as we delight in the Lord, our joy is filled with his glory, and his glory is filled with our joy. The service of the altar in Ezekiel's vision, it is fulfilled in the service of Christ. In his bringing us to God, and in his leading us and the worship of God. He is our great high priest. And he is our great high king. In Ezekiel chapter 44, the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faced east, it was shut. It was shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, had entered the sanctuary by it. But the shutting of that gate, it is not for our sorrow. The shutting of that gate is for our joy. But if this gate is the gate of the Lord, if it is the gate by which the Lord has entered the temple, then it is the gate by which he would leave the temple. And we saw this very thing before in Ezekiel's vision. We saw it in Ezekiel chapter 10, when the glory of the Lord departed from the temple in Jerusalem. In Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 19, the Lord departs by the east gate of the temple. But now, having entered by that same gate into the new temple of the heavenly Jerusalem, we are told that the gate is shut and that it shall remain shut. And by this we are assured that the glory of the Lord will not depart from this place, that he will not leave it or forsake it, that he has made it the place of his rest forever. So we are assured that here we may rest in him forever. A gate is a place for passing through. But by the shutting of this gate, becomes a place for staying, a place for resting, a place for eating, a place for fellowship. Verse 3 of Ezekiel chapter 44, we are told that only the prince may sit in that gate to eat bread before the Lord. The bread of that place is for him alone. The fellowship of that gate is for him alone. We have this grace in Jesus Christ. Not only that he gave himself for us, but that he gives himself to us. And all that is his becomes ours. And so we may enter that gate in him, and we may enjoy its bread with him. For he is the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. And he is the one who gives us the hidden manna and the bread of heaven. The fellowship of that gate, it is given to us in Christ. It is the fellowship of God with the Prince of his people. It is the fellowship of the Father with his Son. It is a fellowship that is given to you by the Spirit. To come to the table of the Lord, to enter that gate, it is to eat bread before the Lord. And that bread is the bread of Christ. The bread that belongs to Christ. The bread that is the body of Christ. As we partake of that bread, we are made one with him. The fellowship of the gate, it is the fellowship of this table. And so it is more than the communion of a prince with his people. It is the communion of a bride with her Lord. And we are invited to see this image of marriage in Ezekiel chapter 44 and verses 5 through 8 of our passage. Now, it is true that we do not read explicitly about marriage in these verses, but what is described here, it ought to remind us of marriage. It ought to remind us of one particular marriage. It ought to remind us of the first marriage, the marriage of Adam and the woman whom God had made to be with him. In verses 6 and 7 of Ezekiel chapter 44, the Lord rebukes his people for having admitted foreigners into the sanctuary, for having admitted those who were uncircumcised, not only in the flesh, but also in their hearts. His people profaned the sanctuary by not keeping the charge of the holy things of the Lord. Now, this charge had been given to the people at the time that the tabernacle was given to the people. You read about that charge in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister to him. They shall keep guard over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting as they minister at the tabernacle." The people of God, in being given the gift of the tabernacle, and being given the gift of God's holy presence, they were called to keep the charge of his holy things by keeping guard over the tabernacle. Their charge was to guard the tabernacle, that its holiness might not be profaned. And in that same passage in Numbers chapter 3, we are told what the people were to do if anyone approached the tabernacle who ought not approach it. If anyone approached the tabernacle to profane it. Numbers chapter 3, verse 10. "But if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death." In Ezekiel chapter 44, we find that the people of God had failed to do this very thing. Not only did they fail to guard the temple against those who would profane it, but they welcomed them into it. They welcomed them and joined their hands with them. They did not guard the holiness of the sanctuary. They did not keep the charge of the holy things of the Lord. But what does this have to do with the first man and his wife? In Numbers chapter 3, we said that the priests were to guard the sanctuary and to minister in it. And these two words, to guard and to minister, they appear together in one other place in the Old Testament. They appear together in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2,
verse 15.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. The man was put in the garden to work and to keep. Now these are the same words that we heard in Numbers chapter 3, but translated differently, to minister and to guard, to work and to keep, to minister and to guard. The words of Genesis chapter 2 are the same words of Numbers chapter 3. And so Adam's working in the garden and is keeping the garden. It is very closely related to the priests ministering in the sanctuary and guarding the sanctuary. And by this we are invited to see that the garden of the Lord was not merely a garden. By this we are invited to see that Adam was not merely a gardener. The garden was a sanctuary, and Adam was its priest. And as a priest, he was called to minister in the garden and to guard it, to guard its holiness. This helps us to understand what Adam ought to have done when the serpent entered the garden and defiled it with deceit. As a priest, Adam ought to have crushed the head of the serpent, cast it out of the garden. To this, he had been called, having been charged to keep the garden. He did not. Instead, he welcomed the serpent and joined hands with it in profaning the holiness of that place. He let a lie take hold in that place, and it brought the ruin of us all. But if you know that story, then you know that it was not Adam who sinned first. It was the woman. But the fall of mankind did not happen because of her, but because of him. The fall was not inevitable after she had eaten the forbidden fruit. It only became inevitable when the man determined to eat it also. And so there was a moment, however brief, when the woman had become a transgressor, but the man had not. And so we might suppose that in that moment, the man, as a priest, had a responsibility not only to strike down the serpent, but to strike down the woman also. Not only to cast out the serpent, but to cast out the woman as well. But in supposing this, we suppose wrong. But that would have left Adam alone. And the Lord had said, it is not good that man should be alone. But what else could he have done? For truly the woman deserved death. But here we remember that as a priest, Adam was not only called to guard the garden, but to minister in it. And what does a priest do in the sanctuary when one has sinned? He makes atonement for it. And so we see that Adam ought to have offered himself for the woman whom the Lord had given to be with him and he with her. He ought to have offered himself as a sacrifice to make atonement for her. But he did not. This charge he did not keep. But thanks be to God, another has. For this charge Christ has kept. Christ, who is the Son of Man, the second and last Adam. For when he found the church to be a transgressor, the church which God had given to be his bride and he her husband, he did not leave her or forsake her, but he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, that he might wash her and cleanse her, that he might present her to himself in splendor, that she might be holy and without blemish. Which brings us back to Ezekiel chapter 44. In Ezekiel chapter 44, we find that the people of God were conformed to the image of the first Adam. And they're profaning the sanctuary by failing to keep charge of his holy things. And so we are called to be conformed not to the image of the first Adam, but to the image of the second and last. To be conformed to the image of Christ. We are called to keep the charge of his holy things. We are called to maintain the truth of his holy word. To keep out of this place the father of lies and the deceit of his words. We are called to preserve the purity of the sacraments, those holy ordinances of Christ, baptism and the Lord's Supper, handling them with humility and reverence, receiving them with repentance and faith. And let us not forget that among the holy things of the Lord are his people themselves. for they are holy, and their bodies are holy. And so we have this charge to treat one another as holy. It is the charge of a husband to protect his wife. It is the charge of a father and mother to protect their children. To abuse them is to transgress what is holy. And when they are abused in the church is profaned. When we lift our hands to the Lord, when we have raised them against one another, can we open our mouths to sing his praise when we have used our mouths to criticize and tear down and not to encourage and build up? Christ calls us to keep the charge of his holy things, to guard the church and to serve her, to love her as his bride, and to protect her sons and daughters. It is a call to keep ourselves unstained. It is a call to keep ourselves unstained from the world. For great is our stain. Consider his grace. Great is his grace. You may have lost the opportunity to live a life of perfection. But you have not lost the opportunity to live a life of repentance. So let us repent and keep the charge of his holy hands. Amen.